Fret Thumb Radio. I'm Matt Micucci from the 2016 Carlo Vivari International Film Festival, and I'm joined by Julie Ward, who is member of the European Parliament. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's great. This is my second encounter with Fred, so it's really wonderful. I mentioned you in my presentation, so it's really great that you're here. I've been very impressed with the work that Fred has done, and I think, in a way, they epitomise many of the issues and agendas that that are included within the Cult Committee portfolio.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm on the Culture Committee, which is culture, education, and that includes media, sport, citizenship, media freedom too, broadcasting. So all those things, and even sport is interesting from the film perspective, because I have been very involved previously in cinema sports.
There you go. But the topic of the day is film education, of course, and film literacy. When we talk about film education, what exactly are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about people understanding what they're watching and being proactive viewers and audiences, rather than being passive audiences. And, you know, the best education is the education that provokes a response, that provokes more questions. And so, and the best films are films which leave you satisfied, but perhaps more aware of an issue, wanting to know more about it, feeling a response, maybe feeling provoked to take action, to do some of your own learning. So I think for me, you know, film education creates that kind of that two-way interactivity between the film world and the viewer.
How is that happening right now?
Well, it's not happening in the same way right across all 28 member states, and that's understandable in some ways, but a European approach would help. I think what the Lux Film Prize does is a good start. You know, being able to watch European films in the 24 different national languages is really is a good start. It means that films made in, you know, in the Czech Republic, for example, can be more accessible to audiences in the UK, who I don't think we have many Czech speakers in the UK. So instantly we have, we are crossing some borders here. I know that Fred was subtitling films for deaf and hard of hearing audiences. That's really important too. I'm a signer, so I'm always very concerned about the disabled audiences who don't get proper access.
So I
think Lux Film is a great platform. There's a fantastic back catalogue. You can use it in all sorts of interesting ways. Working closely with film educators, and I think the work that the BFI have done on trying to provide a film education framework is really, really significant. You know, that's already, because sharing best practice is something that that is part of us being in the EU, you know?
Right, yeah.
So we can meet with our fellow filmmakers or film lovers from different member states, and we can share our love for film, but we can also share the things that we're doing which are having a significant impact on our audiences. You know, and if we are improving our audience experiences, actually what we're also doing is creating the next generation of filmmakers.
Right.
And that's important too, because if you understand film, if you get hooked on film, the chances are you might end up somehow or other being involved in the industry. And I don't mean as a producer or an actor necessarily, but, you know, the industry has a whole load of people that hold it together.
Yeah, that's right. But also what I find is that cinema itself begs for a collective experience, and it's an immediate way of sharing, of cultural exchange, and just that's fantastic. But would you have any kind of suggestions in the way in which the practice of film education can be promoted?
I think that it's important that educators are passionate and love film, and that they're given the tools, the understanding, the knowledge to inspire the young people they're working with. But for me, film education doesn't necessarily reside solely in schools. I think that informal learning, often working with arts organizations, media organizations, can be the real key to how this works. So it's not a one size fits all. You know, we have to approach this in a really thinking outside the box, bringing the industry into contact with young people in whatever way. So yes, let's have more stuff going on in schools, but let's also make sure that young people have access to professionals from the film industry in a whole load of various different ways. I was so inspired watching the 28, you know, the 28 people, young ambassadors from Lux Film Project, who are given that opportunity to come together in Venice to be the ambassadors. You know, what an amazing opportunity for them, and to see their incredible enthusiasm and knowledge is really fantastic. What we have to do is like multiply that a million times, you know.
So, yeah, because if it was up to me, I wouldn't stop with Europe. I would actually just include the whole world with this wonderful kind of cinema and use cinema in as a way to bring everyone together.
And it can, of course, it can be, get involved in watching films in other languages can be a great stepping stone for watching films, for example, from Latin American countries or African countries. But I think we have a particular need right now to promote the idea of what it means to be European. So I think that the work that the Lux Film Prize is doing is incredibly important right now, and that finding new ways to have an education strand is really, really important.
Well, could I get your own comments on what is happening right now with the UK and the EU?
Well, just over a week ago, my country made a very petulant kind of response to the question about whether or not it wants to be a member of the EU. And by a very narrow margin, the people who were able to vote voted that they wanted to leave. Now, it was a narrow franchise because 16 and 17 year olds weren't allowed to vote, and the process of registering to vote was actually made very difficult for young people, and the campaign was full of lies, and there was an undercurrent of racism and anti-migrant rhetoric happening in the Leave campaign. So it's a very depressing scenario, really. You know, the demographic of the analysis of the voting patterns show that overwhelmingly the young people who did vote wanted to remain, and more older people wanted to leave. Now, that's a difficult decision to live with if you're 16 and 17 years old now and you weren't allowed to vote, but you are very European and you have grown up being part of Europe, and you know that the older people who voted Leave don't have so long to live on this planet. So
that's true. That's part of it. I think, like, you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But more specifically, how do you feel this is? I mean, you're still obviously going to try and keep the UK within the system of film education or artistic cultural exchange, you know.
Well, I was involved in cultural exchange projects before I came into politics, and it's why I became very European. You know, I was somebody who was facilitating groups of young people to meet each other across borders, and actually they were not privileged young people. I think this is really important. You know, the young people I was working with were actually kept from very deprived communities, and they were the kids who were getting into trouble at school, and they were the know-how Hopers. Mm. And I saw their transformation through their engagement with performing arts and media projects that brought young people together from the different member states and also from neighboring countries. So, I think this is what is at stake. What is at stake is the opportunity to contribute to that ongoing debate and discussion about where we can find common agreement. You know what? And actually, the more you engage with other people across borders, the more you learn about yourself. The more you learn what you have in common, the more you can respect difference and diversity. The more you can, the more you can just build that sense of shared humanity. Mm. And I think when we're just talking about trade, you know, because somehow or other, artists will still keep doing stuff and people will still keep watching films. You know, we'll still keep buying goods and things might be a bit more complicated and a bit more expensive. But I just think the world will be black and white, actually. I think we'll be living in a very grey world. And I think that the British youth who feel European will somehow feel like they've lost a limb. You know, they in a way they won't feel like I think they will just feel like second class citizens, actually. Certainly the young people that I've worked with who are expressing, you know, I'm still in touch with the young people that I was working with before I became a politician, and their sense of loss already. Now, it hasn't happened and it might not even happen. The legalities of the decision are so immense that it could take decades and it might never happen at all. But their sense of something being taken away from them, right, is very profound. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to, you know, we have to make their feelings known. And, you know, I'm a child rights advocate. I work with children and young people to support me in policy making. So I'm not going to give that up. I'm going to carry on making sure that through me they have a voice and that their voice is heard. And I would give young people every possible platform to, you know, to state their case for being Europeans.
Well, on that note, thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking with you.
Okay, thank you, and keep up the good work, Fred.
Thanks very much, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.